If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Okay, I will leave it to you. Is this the most morally reprehensible thing a president has ever said? Here he is yesterday.
Yeah. Mike, I think you'll agree for a long time. Let Obamacare fail. It'll be a lot easier. And I think we're probably in that position where we'll just let Obamacare fail. We're not going to own it. I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it.
You already own it.
We'll let Obamacare fail, and then the Democrats are going to come to us, and they're going to say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Or how do we come up with a new plan?
We have been saying that.
Okay, all right. Okay. So you'll just have to die, and then there'll be a lot less people to disagree with me. I bet you somebody we know has some thoughts on this. Yes.
Hello world, here's the news that she's bringing.
Yes.
Come on, get Jackie. Come on, it's Jackie.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning. You know who else doesn't take responsibility for anything?
Who?
Putin.
Yeah. They're perfect together. It's, wow. Jackie, what, he's just, I don't even know what to say. I don't even feel like we're talking about politics or policy anymore. He's just a reprehensible human being.
Yeah.
We're not. I mean, I don't understand why he's bothering to have lunch. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I was reading yesterday, there was some discussion of the fact that he doesn't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, and that as early as that dinner the other night, he was asking how we lower drug prices and how insurance companies might sell across state lines. I mean, all of this are talking points that he's been spewing throughout the campaign, and then now as president, at least his little nuggets that he seems to remember, and he doesn't have any clue how.
Right, and he's completely uninvolved in every way, the complete opposite of President Obama. Right, I mean, pictures of him in the driving fire truck and trying on a cowboy hat, and then using a baseball bat. I tweeted yesterday. I'm like, he's like Tom Hanks in Big, only not as smart or mature. Mm-hmm.
Right.
While this is happening, while Trump Care is going down in flames, right?
Yeah, all my friends who have like 4-year-old sons can tell you they love fire trucks and cowboy hats.
But first of all, I keep saying this bill, it's like Glenn Close in the bathtub. I mean, I'm still hearing rumors that, you know, McConnell might try again on a repeal with no replacement.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking more and more like all of the options are gone. But if you remember what happened with the House bill, like we thought it was done and then it resurrected itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's true. I mean, not until Trump and the GOP leadership definitively decide to move on to the next disaster will I feel like this is really dead and buried.
Right.
I'm hesitant too because the GOP senators who were the ones who finally killed it, at least the replacement plan, were conservatives, and they're not hard to win back over. So I hesitate. You know, I would like to see the numbers be greater. I'm glad that moderates stepped out and said no to repeal.
Yeah.
It would be nice if the numbers were a little hardier on both sides.
Kind of nice that it was the three Republican women who weren't allowed in the room when they were crafting this disaster were the ones that brought this down, right?
Susan Collins for stepping out. I mean, I don't know where the Republicans with a spine and conscience are, but good on her for at least being the one moderate and the woman who stepped up and said, I can't in good faith vote for this bill.
Well, and Shelley Caputo said, I didn't come to Washington to hurt people. And somebody said, well, then you're in the wrong party, right? I mean, well, so Jackie, talk to us about this, because it actually, I mean, I've said this before, and we had somebody yesterday call whose son has autism, and I've never had so many people call crying, you know, to essentially a little, you know, comedy fart joke radio show. But what is going to happen now? Because he's obviously actively trying to kill Obamacare, right? I mean, first of all, we started with the risk corridors and Marco Rubio, but I mean, what can they do? I mean, because obviously it's working in all the states that embraced it.
Yeah. So what they can do is baked into the law is the idea that insurance companies get some money to help them balance out their profits, I should say, but that's not how it's phrased. The insurance companies were afraid they're going to lose money, right? So in the law is baked in a thing that says the government's going to help them out while they get stabilized. And that money's due. We owe that to the insurance companies according to the law. And the Trump administration is wavering, and they're basically saying they're not going to pay that money. So that would destabilize the market. There was a pull of money to promote the Affordable Care Act around the time that open enrollment was happening, right? So they could do that again. They could bury information about healthcare.gov or open enrollment periods, at least the federal money, so that people don't know it's happening. They don't know how to get help. They could pull, you know, any kind of federal assistance there is to help people understand how these exchanges work or what the benefits of the law are. I mean, there are ways that they could intentionally sabotage the Affordable Care Act. But if you think about it on its surface, and you mentioned this a little bit when you started, it's just inherently cruel. I mean,
yeah.
The idea is let's let people suffer and die so that we can get a win, because they're not interested in working with Democrats.
Jackie, we talked to Representative Jan Schakowsky yesterday, and she was really pretty upbeat. And I get her. I take her point that, look, the resistance is working, that, you know, the resistance, you know, in many ways did this, the constant pressure and town halls and calling. And I think that's all we can do is keep up the pressure, keep up shaming them for doing things that undermine the Affordable Care Act and are hurting or killing people, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I say this often, that healthcare is very personal, and everybody loves their health insurance until they need it. You know, nobody understands the intricacies of the healthcare system and how the healthcare system works until they or a loved one has to experience it. And I think what happened was push came to shove, and people realized that what they've counted on was going to be taken away, so they turned up. And that's good. I mean, I'm happy that we managed to get the voices heard, but you saw a lot of Republicans shut down, right? They weren't doing town halls.
Right.
They weren't taking calls anymore. The phones were off the hook. They're not all that interested in being shamed into doing the right thing.
Right.
So I think what we need to do more than anything, yes, the resistance has been working in some regards, but you got to get people to turn out to vote.
Yeah. And well, that's key. I mean, what she said, which I know you would love, Representative Schakowsky, she said the reason we can, you know, one of the ideas, you know, in terms of states that are down to one insurer, she said a public option. And I mean, as you've often said, there are many ways to help fix Obamacare, which, you know, was never perfect. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a stupid thing when Republicans say the Democrats don't want to help. That's dumb. I mean, the Democrats have said all along, we are more than happy to help. Obama himself said, if you've got a better plan, I will personally shout it from the rooftops. I mean,
right.
He was willing to promote it. The idea is they're more than happy to sit down and take plans. This is not partisan for Democrats. They just want to fix the healthcare system.
I would say, can you believe, but I guess you can believe that Mitch McConnell could stand there with a straight turtle face and say, and blame Democrats for what just happened.
Democrats.
I mean, they're so blatantly, Jackie, the one thing is the polling also gives me hope that people see the blatant political game they're playing.
Yeah.
That Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. He just wants a political win, doesn't know what's in the bill. And I'm looking at this latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll, just 12% in key Trump counties back the Republican healthcare effort.
I mean, it's cruel. It doesn't work. There's no part of it that's actually a good idea for the healthcare system. These 13 men who got together in the Senate and crafted this bill didn't consult with doctors or patients or economists or healthcare advocates or policy experts or anybody who knows anything about what they're doing. And Democrats said, look, we're happy to work with you. We're just not going to work with you if you want to repeal it. If you want to fix it, you want to improve on it, you want to build on it, you want to take with law of the land and make it even better, we are more than happy to come to the table.
If
you start from repeal, we're not going to participate.
Right. Well, obviously, they just want to, it's a political stunt. They want to be able to say, oh, Obamacare dimes, oh, we replaced it with something better. And, you know, as you keep saying, it's not a thing. It is and as Paul Ryan said, it's the law of the land now. You know, so this is not as easy as they thought it was going to be, obviously. And I think the good news, Jackie, is that they've proved they are completely incapable of governing, which I think, you know, hopefully speaks well for the midterms, I hope, for us.
Yeah, I mean, how could Democrats be obstructionists if they don't have a majority? I mean, Republicans have gone ahead and tried to change the rules. They tried to pass this through reconciliation, so they only needed 51 votes. I think they were counting on 50 plus Pence, right? I mean, they've done everything they possibly can to try to stack the odds in their favor, and they still couldn't get it done. And for Trump to get up yesterday and say it was a 48-4 vote is absurd.
Yeah, he said that's pretty impressive. He said it was pretty impressive. He said,
by all accounts,
I just love it. Yeah, it was really good.
yeah, never mind the fact that you've lost the entire Democratic caucus, and then four, the entire Democratic Party, rather, and then there's four of your own party who stank it for you. I mean, yeah. He just doesn't get it.
And another tweet that did not age well, he tweeted, Obama's complaints about Republicans stopping his agenda are BS. Since he had full control for 2 years, he can never take responsibility.
God.
That's amazing. I mean, but we know already. I mean, this is a man who takes literally responsibility for nothing. And I joked off the top about Putin, but I keep hearing these stories about, you know, the United States and other countries calling out Russia for its things like election interference. And Russia goes, well, not us. We didn't do it. They deny everything. They deny meetings. They deny conversations. They deny counter cyber attacks. They deny, you know, it's just.
Jackie, do you think it's exactly. I mean, but between the Russia story and this disaster, I mean, do you think Republicans, there's got to be some of them going, wow, we just tried to pass something with a 12% approval rating for an illegitimate president that is, God knows, going to be in office for how much longer if this Russia thing is going at the pace that it's been going, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they're hanging their hat on him. I get the idea that they want to push through this agenda and there's some hardliners who are stuck to it. But gosh, I mean, is this a legacy you really want? You want to be the Republican lawmaker who couldn't stand up to Donald Trump?
Yeah.
That's a terrible way to go down in the history book. Be the person who does. I mean, we'll celebrate that.
Yeah. Jackie, what are you afraid of and what are your predictions for what's going to happen with the healthcare debate going forward?
Well, my fear is that the Trump administration, I mean, Trump's a petty man. And I mean, the good news is that he has a short attention span, right? So he's easily deterred and could move on to something else, and the Affordable Care Act will stay in place, which is good. What I fear is that they will actively attempt to sabotage and that Republicans will attempt to do it in their home state. I'm optimistic on the, well, okay, let's back up for 2 seconds. I'm afraid it's not dead yet.
Oh boy, yeah.
But that's okay because, you know, I'm comfortable with where it is. I just hope they don't try to resurrect it somehow in the next few days. So that's where I'm a little hesitant. But the good news is that we do have the opportunity on the state level to do some good work, and there are a lot of states who are doing that.
Well, it's so clear.
Companies and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Obviously, Jackie is somebody that was involved helping craft and message the Affordable Care Act. I mean, we couldn't have a clearer. They always say the states are the laboratories, right? And we couldn't have a clearer example of how well it's working in the states that embraced it compared to the states that didn't. I mean, this isn't rocket science, right?
No, and there's an example even in Washington State where they didn't have insurers in particular counties, and so the state negotiated with insurance companies, and they ended up getting those exchanges populated. They ended up getting two insurers that were willing to provide insurance that hadn't before. When you do those negotiations on the state level and you've got people acting in their residents' best interest, you can make the system work. A public option is one way that we do it nationally, but in the meantime, there are rules and regulations in place that can help lower costs or at least keep costs, not lower necessarily, but at least keep costs contained while we figure this all out. I mean, this is 17% of the GDP. This is huge.
Right.
And so we need to understand that it's constantly evolving. It's a work in progress. We said that we only opened the door when we passed the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
But we've walked through it now. And why would you then go backwards?
And besides how morally reprehensible what he said is yesterday about letting Obamacare fail, what you just said, it's 17% of the economy. You're president and you're going to let 17% of the American economy fail to be petty.
No, I mean, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but it is in line with everything else he's doing to destroy us from the inside out. I mean, you know, you roll back environmental protections, you try to destroy our healthcare system, you let Wall Street run amok. I mean, all of these things, you're cutting government so that you don't have checks and balances.
Yeah. They're shutting the cybersecurity department we've had a huge election hack. If that doesn't make you conspiratorial, I don't know what will, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to start to think about these things and connect the dots. And I worry because, you know, we're talking about people's health, and that's a very, very important thing to lots and lots of people.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, because we're liberals and we actually care about people, it does give me some comfort that all of the people in the Trump administration will have fancy government health care when they are in prison, which should be shortly.
Well, it's the irony that they had to delay the vote so McCain could get health care, right?
Yes, his government health care, exactly. Jackie, I hear rumors that you may have something big to announce at some point. Is that what point will that be at?
At some point, we're not official with it yet.
Okay.
But I'm working on a project, and
that's what I'm told.
It's going to be good.
You know, I live on the grapevine. This is what I hear. All right.
Well, yeah, that's where the wine comes from.
Yes, exactly. That's where the wine is. All right. Well, one would certainly hope that, that when you do announce it, it will be on the
Stephanie Miller
show. Yes, Jim. Thank you.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
All right. All right. Thank you, Jackie. Love you. Thanks for taking time.
I love you guys too.
All right. Bye, honey. There she goes, little Jackie.
There she goes again.
She has a lovely voice.
Mm-hmm.